I'm excited to hear what God's doing. Let me share something that's come from some of the pastors in the district as we're talking about some of the things that we're doing. They can't believe that a church of our size is doing some of the things that we're doing and reaching out and continuing to reach out. So when we say that small church, we have big hearts. And we do have a heartbeat that wants to reach out into the community. So let me say this: I'm happy to bring my report to the people of Rosedale because I just feel honored and I'm humbled. And when I look back over the years to see what we've accomplished, not only as a ministry but as reaching out to different people I won't take the time to tell it, but there's a lot of people in other states and other places that have grinded their teeth at Rosedale and now serving God in another area. And I guess that's part of ministry too. We sometimes want to have this huddle to keep everybody there, but really if we're discipling, if we're ministering to people, if we're making an impact and as the Lord takes them maybe to some other place, That still was a crown for Rosedale, amen. That you can see that we can minister, and I look back over the years, and especially when I first got here, the according to the district, the church was in crisis. They weren't sure what the next step was at that time, and I believe that the core, the families that were the core then and are still the core now. We'll have a crown of glory because they just would not go down without a fight and saw Rosedale as a place to minister, and I'm excited. There are some barriers that we need to break. We need some barriers not only to break to move into where God wants us to go in the next couple years, but barriers that sometimes are hindrances because we don't think God big enough. We would never say that. You'd never say, God, you're not big enough, but it, sometimes in our actions and in our thinking, do things that are limited to exactly what talent and money and resources and people that we have. And God does his best work in the miracle realm. Do you say amen to that? In the realm where we cannot take that credit and we ask God to do something bigger than we are, and that is where we're at, and that is where we're heading, and we need to discuss some of the challenges that, don't get me wrong, we need to discuss those challenges, but the church by design is to be a place where believers come in, be involved, are a part of, participate in being discipled by Christ and the ministries that go in and a part of the ministries that go out and disciple. And then also it's a place where believers create an atmosphere for unbelievers to want to come in and see what it's all about. To see what God's doing, to see why every Sunday you go out the door, they're wanting to know what would cause you to be faithful, what would cause you to want to serve a God like that, and the church needs to be a place that we're inviting, that a place where that's a safe place where people can come in that are hurting. And come and experience God in such a powerful way, a mercy, grace, and healing. It's supposed to be a hospital, which means we're not to give the illusion of being perfect people, having a holy huddle coming to meet God. It's to be a hospital where the hurting can come, where those that have questions are able to come in, and it's to be a place of worship. Can you say amen to that? That's what it should be. As people enter into these doors, whatever they're needing, we're trusting God to be able to minister to them. And every year, the annual report is kind of the highs and the lows of each department and what's happening. But I also want us to look at the future and the vision that we're moving towards this new year. The universal church in America is struggling. They're just plain struggling. They're struggling with busyness. They're struggling with relevance. They're struggling with hypocrisy. They're struggling with so much that's going on. So many people are so busy that they cannot fit one more thing into their schedule. Say amen to that. You talk to most people, they're that busy that they cannot get one more thing in their schedule. And what some are doing is they're trying to take Sunday to be a downtime, catch up on their sleep, catch up in family events, catch up in disconnecting. And the church struggles to try to come against that, and really there's only a few ways that you can deal with that. You can only deal with it that you, when you're in that busyness, when you have that schedule that's that tight, you can either cut some things out of your schedule, or you really have to prioritize. You have to use that time and decide what you're going to do with the hours that you've given, and instead of letting your schedule run you, you begin to run your schedule. And that's what we're praying for, that in the midst of the culture in America right now struggling is to find relevance, try to hit topics that are important to the people that are in this community, and allow them to find a place and let God minister to them. There is only a few ways that you can do that. And my question to those of us that are here this morning is, God first? You know, when you look at your life and you look at your first, your time, your money, your energy, your schedule, does God get the first bit of that? Do you enjoy, and that's the question I'm given by some people when I reach out in the community and in this restaurant that I minister to, and that is a whole ministry within itself, is does being part of something bigger than you excite you? Because it really ought to, because if you think of the church globally, if you think of the church as being more than just one church sitting in this community, we actually have four churches within a 10 or 15 mile radius that reach out, and so we're bigger than just one area of ministry. And you know, is our time that we spend together a time of refreshing? Is it a time where people of like-minded faith come in and allow God to minister and allow God to do the things that he desires to do? Are you willing to cut down some of the schedule so that you're able to be in the house of the Lord, able to minister and be ministered to? And in your finances, is God first? And you know, there's going to be no stewardship police running, and there is somewhere, you know, if you join the church, they almost feel like you have a right to look at their pay stubs, and you know, we're not there, and it'd never be there. Nobody's going to come after you. But in your finances, is God first? Is it a priority? And when you look at this, it's very clear, and nobody wants me to go into a stewardship sermon this morning, but it's very clear. It takes money to run a church. It takes finances to be able to do ministries, and God's got enough, but sometimes it's in your pocket, and it has to go from your pocket into the offering. It has to go from your energy and the time that you invest in ministries. It comes back in different ways. God's word tells us that 10% is his. In fact, if you read God's word, really you can't clarify an offering until you've met the responsibility of the 10% that God is asking. And it's a godly principle to replenish the storehouse to God, to do what the storehouse of God is meant to do. And that is to reach out into this community and help those in need and support paying the pastor, paying the budgets that makes us a global part, paying the ministries that go out into the church, allowing God to be able to use us. And, you know, I've often said sometimes God gives us blessings, and it doesn't mean that we're upgrading our standard of living. Sometimes it means that we're to be more involved and bless others. You can do all of these things and worship God in the woods. You can worship God in other things on the time of day and all of that stuff. But there is nothing like coming into the house of God, gathering a people of like-minded faith and worshiping and ministering and being a part of a global family, part of a local family. And you've got to understand, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. It's designed that 10% belongs to God. So in that 90%, God can do amazing things. I know raising kids that there was times that dollar couldn't stretch far enough, but God was there. He ministered and allows to be used. And Exodus tells us that when you're a believer and you understand the principles of God, that sometimes God will put holes in your pockets to allow some of that to filter in. And the only way I can understand that is sometimes there's these things that happen that take up the money that you were holding on to. And Acts chapter 5 is a perfect example of Ananias and Sapphira when they'd had the ability to sell their house and they were giving things back to the Lord. They said they gave it all, but they didn't. And it God knew. God understands and God sees that. And like I said, nobody wants a stewardship program, but you're going to be blessed by giving. Say amen to that. You will be blessed. God gets blessed. The kingdom grows, and God seems to bless those that step out in faith. And let me tell you, it takes money to pay the bills of the church, just like your home. If your boss gave you produce, it would be a blessing unless God gave you produce instead of your paycheck. Amen? Right? Because you can eat the produce, but it's not going to pay the electric bill. And what I'm saying is that it takes 22. I have a number, Grace. Where's Grace? I have a number. It takes about $2,200 a week to run this church, to run the operation of the church, to pay the bills and meet all those obligations that I was telling you about. And so many things affect the budget. The snow today affected the budget. The canceling of Sunday school last week because of things going on affects the budget. You heard that we're down $16,000 this year and 18 and a half last year. It's going to affect the bottom line if it continues in this way. I challenge you to taste and see that God's not good. Amen. I challenge you to trust the Lord in some of the areas that maybe you're afraid to step out into and see what God is going to do and allow God to use you not only in ministry but as a financial blessing to move the church forward. And some of the things that have happened and some of Jess has already shared, but Bountiful Blessings continues to be a ministry that was God ordained, started it about 13 years ago, partnered with Terry and Ron Arendi, that began this in one in their home church and now has 14 sites this year, not too long ago, Ronna Rindy was killed in an accident, but his wife, the founder, Terry, has vowed that she will keep moving forward. She's actually retiring from her insurance job to do this full-time, desires to take this statewide, and I mean United States wide, and eventually get into all 50 states. The way that works is they give us products and we open up our church to them twice a month, the second Tuesday of the month and the fourth Tuesday of the month. We have that here. And what we've done, because there's lean times and times where they have much, depending on where they get from truckers and different people donating, but we as a church have stepped in. Bountiful Blessings is now a line item on our budgets. Between what Bountiful Blessing brings in and what we contribute, over $30,000 a year is going out in product, cleaning supplies, necessity needs. Carnes helps us with baked goods and bread and different things. They get something that's near outdated rather than letting it spoil. They bring it to us and allow us to give it out. So we've last year ministered to over 500 families. It's an opportunity. I say it all the time. People say, well, Rosedale's my church, and they've never stepped foot in the church on this side of the sanctuary. They've walked through and been Bountiful Blessings, Community Day, all kinds of Vacation Bible School and all other areas, but they haven't stepped into the sanctuary, and that's ministry. That is ministry at its finest. We pray that there would be some way that we could acclimate some of them into the service. We also have the Good Samaritan Fund that has reached 14 situations that we've gave money to. I think it's 7 families, 14 different situations of meeting needs. And then Jess has talked about Community Day and a big part of Community Day. She didn't mention this, but a big part of the way that we pay for Community Day is being allowed at Sharp Shopper to do a customer appreciation. That's hard on about 6, 7, 8 people that for 3 days, about 6 hours a day, we're slinging up to anywhere between 2,000 and 2,400 hot dogs, and we're allowed to keep that money for services to be into the community as an aid to do that. And we've raised usually around $2,200 or $2,300. A big part of that, and that would pay for the inflatables, that would pay for a concert if we have it, that would pay for a singing group or whatever we're going to have that goes on there. That is a big part of that. In Vacation Bible School, that's amazing that a church of our size would have 52 people come to VBS, and also the fact that 24 or 25 people would take time out of their busy week to minister to the community and to the kids of the community. We have some people that plan their vacation and take off to be here, to be a part of VBS. And I think that makes God smile. I cannot say that. I think if your passion is that much, that God wouldn't smile at us being able to do that. We've done a community yard sale, which you would think that, hey, you're just cleaning out some junk in your basement and doing it, but it has turned into something the community calls me about. You know, it usually happens around October, and I'll get the phone calls in late summer moving into the fall, and people asking if we're going to do that again. Again, we have elections in the church. We open up the church. That's an 18-hour day for your pastor, but it's also an opportunity for us to minister to the community, show them that we care and be a part of that. There again, we have some people that come for elections and vote in our church, and if you ask them, and I've heard them in different places, where do you go to church? Oh, well, I go to Rosedale. So we just need to acclimate and get them some spiritual food in there too, as well as finding a place to vote. this year has been, honestly, it's been a struggle. We struggle with consistency with our attendance and our finances. As we go into the new year, we want to get creative. We want to be expanding some ministries that are working, getting rid of some that are not working, and starting those that mean something. One of the things that we're doing this coming year is we want to build community. We want to have more small groups. And whether that would be meeting in the homes or meeting here in church, we want to start small groups that have topics that are relevant, topics that are going to minister to people that are, of the things that they're going through, and get people to have a conversation. Can you say amen to that? We need people to have a conversation and let us know what the heartbeat of the community is, where they need to be ministered to. And one way we can do that is open up the church to some of these small groups, open up our homes to some of these small groups, and allow them to have a conversation. The other way that we're doing it, we did it one time last year, we're doing it two times this year, is to begin to use Simulcast to some of our benefits. Last year we did Work as Worship, which was running into and having several speakers talk about what it's like in the workplace, how we can be better Christians in the workplace, how we can minister to those in the workplace and not get tossed because we should be working, and how we put ideas together for that. So that's again, that's going to be in February, and then in May, marriage enrichment, looking at some of the things of our marriages. It's not like you have a bad marriage, you need to be here. It's kind of a, you have a good marriage, we'd like to see it get better. Amen. We'd like to see it stronger. We'd like to see some of the conversations going on that way. And so March is the Work as Worship, and May is the marriage. And I've asked Karen Noor to head that up. And so you'll be getting some information from her as we get it to offer that up. There is a cost to that, but I feel like you're investing in yourself ahead of time. Maybe you can get some time off. The Work as Worship one is on a Friday. I believe the marriage one is on a Tuesday, if I remember right. All of these things could play a part in your life and in your ministry. You could be talking to somebody. Somebody says their marriage is needing some help. You're getting close to May. You can invite them to be a part of that. Also, I'm excited about this. We're in talks with Messiah College about getting an internship program started where we can get some of the students that are one from Messiah. They are called to ministry in some aspect, pastors, nursery workers, allowing some interns to be a part of that, getting us some of the help that we need to minister. So we're in the beginning stages of that. Any of those that would need extra credits, the way it's working is 40 hours would be one extra credit for them. So we're trying to finalize that. We're also going to be looking at Penn State right here a mile and a half from us, trying to get those that are in some kind of education, of those that would be interested. We would make sure they have the background checks and everything that they're needed. Messiah College, most of them already have that. Excited. I see Jeff wandering around. Jeff is doing an internship that started this past week, and he's working towards his master's, and he's going to be spending some time trying to get our kids ministry up and going, you know, the youth ministry, and trying to get legs to that. It's hard to start from scratch and move up. So we're going to put our heads together. We're going to look at some opportunities, but Jeff has agreed to do that. It's going to take intense prayer. It's going to take some wisdom to lay down these different things and putting boots on the ground. Say amen to that. not only talking about it, but getting boots on the ground to make something happen. Jeff and Jen, Jeff has applied, but Jen will definitely be a part of that too. Jeff is in conversation with China Outreach Ministry. Jeff is looking at maybe becoming their director, which would mean that he would be ministering to Asians within the colleges, all, which is exciting for me because I think Penn State being so close that there's got to be a way that we can find to minister to them, to be involved in some segment of their lives. And in the weeks to come, I pray that this would be something that would be beneficial. Something would come up out of our conversations for that. In the weeks to come, you're gonna see the foyer finished. We're looking into getting the taglines up, and we're waiting on a quote for that, someone to finish that. A look to have the foyer inviting, the foyer to look and says, hey, we've been expecting you. Say amen to that. We want people as they come in the door not to feel like a newcomer, but to say, you know what? They were prepared and knew I was coming. They may not have known my name, but they knew I was coming because of the way they presented themselves, the way they do ministry. It's not a second and an afterthought. They can see that we're expecting them. Our vision statement was changed not too long ago. We're working on that. In some way, we're going to have that up in the foyer. If not, we're in discussion on putting up some monitors, kind of like what's up there. That might be something that happens. Again, it takes money. We're praying big, believing God for some of these things. Some of our IT guys and gals are going to help us get to that point. But yeah, our vision statement is this, and let me read that because we haven't done it for a while. It says, to demonstrate the revitalizing power of Christ's love by creating a radically inclusive community focused on breaking the cycles of poverty and marginalization in the Middletown area so that current and future generations are liberated to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Can I give that in a nutshell? You are welcome here. You are welcome here. We're not going to change our bylaws and constitution, but you're welcome here. We want you to come here. We want to minister to you. We want you to become devoted disciples of Christ. We want you to know that we love you, and we don't want this to be a holy huddle. We want this to be a community of believers that want to make a difference in people's life and believe that God will raise up the people to do it. And bless those that are a part of that and are faithful to the church. So many people. If I stood up here this morning and said, you know, thank you, there are so many people that you have no idea what it takes to put a service together. You have no idea how many people are involved coming to worship practice and the conversations that go on between leadership to make these things happen. So I say a big thank you. I say a big thank you. If you're involved in some of these things, you make it what it is. You create the atmosphere of worship. I definitely could not do this on my own. It would be very limited. I have picked up the phone and I believe that, you know, those that in leadership have seen my name on there and they're going, oh no, it's him again. Because I've been lost sometimes at Josh. My computer crashed, man. What do I do now? This needs to be done. You know, what do I, you know, Josh, how do you get me on Facebook? You know, all the different questions that go on. You know, I think sometimes I just pick up the phone and go, they go, oh, hi, Pastor. We want to do everything by prayer. Can you say amen to that? We want to do everything by prayer. We need the Lord to bless. We need the Lord to guide us. We need the Lord to pour out blessings. We need the Lord to step in that gap and allow us to carry that mantle of ministry that he's called us to. This year, I'm excited. Pastor Susan's going to get ordained. Prayerfully. I have a good idea that she will. I'm excited about that. Yep. But I'm praying that she would go through this final interview in time, and excited for the things that she's done and for the things that will be done in the future. We just spent an amazing 3 days. We went to a prayer retreat Tuesday, Wednesday, and came home Thursday about halfway through the day. And I want you to know that was what your pastor needed. And speaking, I needed that time away to hear from God. I believe I did hear from God on some issues. A time away where like 50 pastors was in worship. That was sweet. Oh my gosh, that was sweet time. A young South Korean young man that goes to the church in Lansdale, just outside of Philly. I wouldn't call it preaching because he really didn't preach, but a presentation of the book of Habakkuk, of Habakkuk's prayer first, crying out, you know, this world's terrible, to the prayer. Then in the end was, God, whatever you have for me. See, the situation didn't change, but his heart changed. His idea of ministry changed. His focus had changed, and I was just blessed. I just think that was a tremendous time. I think it was an exciting time. I believe that God has done some wonderful things from that, and your pastor was changed. It, you know, in some areas would, and I'm excited for that. I'll close with a thought, and then I'd like to pray for the church, and again, thank you for all that you do. It's we're not standing up here and saying those that are doing things should do more. I'm saying maybe search your heart and ask the Lord, what part do I play? That church, here's the thing. You will see God do amazing things when church isn't just a place that you attend, but it becomes a place that you belong. See, praying that as a congregation, we don't have to have this conversation with God like, I'm not sure I'm going to be there today, God. But more like, God, I'm coming with a heart of expectation. I'm coming, Lord God, for you to do something amazing. And then as God blesses and as God reaches out, then that we'll see some of these things that we've been praying for. I pray for you. And because I know what you're up against, because your pastor faces the same things. You know what I'm saying? I'm not immune to family issues. I'm not immune to a bad day. I'm not immune to somebody just trashing you when you didn't expect it. These things happen to all of us, and I'm praying that God would bless your lives, bless your families, bless your workplace and your ministries. I hear some of the stories of people. I have the best boss in the world, but some of you must have not so good. And I'm praying for you, trusting that God would do something amazing. So here's my thought, and I can't go into a lot of detail, but in May of last year, I sat with the board and I proposed a monster idea. I mean, it was out of the box. It was something that would take a lot of prayer, and it was so outside of the box that I wasn't sure what was going to be said, and the board unanimously voted yes. Spent a couple hours in conversation, talking things through, and believed that they saw the need, and then then soon after we got sticker shock and what that all looks like and what it would take to make those things happen. And you know, like I said, don't ask me the details right now. It's we're not there. We're not ready to present it, but you know, we're looking at presenting it to the church at the right time with drawings and explanations and needs and the whole things. But could you keep it in prayer? Because we're excited about it, that we're desiring as a church not to just be a place where people come once in a while, but where their heartbeat would be, God, I'm coming in expecting you to do something tremendous. I'm asking you to do something amazing. I want to be a part of it. I'm asking you to be sensitive to those that we have conversation with. I know you're having these conversations with people because I am. My life is trashed. Well, I know a healer. Man, I feel like I'm all alone. Well, I know a church that loves people. I know a small group of ladies that get together and they will just love you up. I know that you want to study the Bible and you don't understand it. Well, I know a place you can go on Sunday morning that has some pretty good teachers that will give you the Word of God. But that we would take that opportunity for people to experience Jesus. Amen? Just give them an opportunity. We can't save anyone. I can't save anyone, but we can point them in the right direction of Jesus. We can hear and listen to them and give them an opportunity to experience Christ. Let me share these couple verses from Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled at awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Goes on to say they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then also when the church was on fire and exploding and they didn't know what to do with the church, and those that were coming against the church were trying to decide how they were going to do it. Here's what one portion of Scripture says: leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. Setting this community on fire for God, that those that want to oppose them say, look, we're just waiting for them to fail. If this is just of them, then they'll self-destruct. They'll burn up themselves. And if it's God, we're not going to be able to stop them anyways. So that's what I'm praying, that we would be that. That we would be adding to our numbers daily, that we would be open to having conversation with people, suggesting and getting them in an opportunity to experience Jesus and be in prayer. Prayer isn't the last thing you do. Can you say amen to that? Prayer is not the last thing you do. When you're down in the dumps and you're facing something, that is not the time to begin to pray. You should be already praying. You should already have a relationship with God. And here's the thing. I see a lot of churches doing a lot of things without God. Just how much more could we do if God was in the anointing, if God was in the blessing, if we were gathering together as a community of believers, praying, trusting God to do these amazing things. There is nothing that can't be done if God is behind it. You say amen to that? We're excited about that, and I'm happy to be your pastor, and I'm praying and believing God to see that fruit from our labors. And here's the thing. I'm praying that we would stop plowing rocks. And I'll tell you, I heard the first time was from my DS when we were talking about ministry and talking about some things, and he used it in a reference. His two other brothers are in ministry. One has a gigantic church. One has an intermediate-sized church, and what he was saying, he was talking about his brother. He said, my brother seems to always be plowing rocks, meaning that everything that was done in the church came hard. It didn't come here easy. The one that has this huge church, he talked about fertile ground, and he would just try something, and it seemed like people would just respond. And my prayer has been that we're not at Rosedale going to keep plowing rocks, that we would get the fertile ground and that we would see the fruit of our labor and see God do some amazing things. Can you say amen to that? Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for a year. Yes, there was challenges, but it's a year that you have ministered. We've seen a couple salvations this year. We've seen numerous people from the community benefit from our ministries. And Lord God, if this church just was picked up off this corner and taken somewhere else, there would be a void in this community, which excites me. It means that we're doing something. We're touching people's lives. My prayer in this new year is that we would stop plowing rocks and have a fertile soil, that Lord Jesus, you would begin to allow us to see fruit from our labor, that Lord God, these ministries that we're starting would be the topics and conversations that we need to have with people in this community, that we would develop, each and every one of us sitting right here, right now, would be inviting, allowing God to move in the hearts of people that we come into contact with, touching our neighbors, touching our family, touching those that we work with to make an impact. And Lord Jesus, we will be careful to be faithful with everything that you give us, whether it's resources, whether it's people. Lord God, we desire to be under your anointing and your blessing. We ask as a church board and leadership, and every department head is asking for your anointing, asking you to direct us, and we'll give you honor, and we'll give you praise, and we'll give you the name of Jesus lifted up. And we're praying for souls, Lord God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Respectfully submitted.